After the initial presentation, there will be a Q&A session. To ask for support during the conference call, please press asterisk plus zero. Now the floor goes to Giancarlo Nicosanti Montarastelli, CEO of Unieuro.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for participating in the conference call on the presentation and comment on the financial results of Unieuro.
I'm Giancarlo Nicosanti, CEO of the company. Valenti, CFO, is also attending, and also Valeri, CFO Omnichannel, and Fusco, Head of Operations. On page number four of the presentation that you should have received, you see the main points of the highlights of Unieuro.
Well, first of all, the half year March, August is weak due to the revenues that in our industry are particularly strong in the second part of the year, November and December in particular. However, the trends that we can observe are interesting and representative. In the period under review, Unieuro outperformed the market throughout all the main segments and product categories, both thanks to the increase in the number of stores and thanks to the expansion of the existing network that benefited from a like-for-like growth net of overlappings of 4.3%. This is an acceleration, and an acceleration can be seen also in online web. Unieuro.it increased year-over-year by 39% if we consider also the contribution by Moncler.it. The market expansion and consolidation moved forward with the announcement of two further important and small acquisitions for a total of 15 new stores that will contribute starting from the second half. As of today, we can also announce that a strategic agreement of great importance is about to be signed, and this will allow us to tap the new ground of large retailers. This, while we are continuously improving the level of service, as shown by an average NPS for the first half, with an increase of 44 points on average. We also keep the whole financial structure under control. As usual, I would like to start with an overview of the reference market. Please go to page number six. In the first half of the year, as you can see, the consumer market, net of the B2B business and net of the services and products that are not under consumer electronics, increased according to GfK data by 2.1%. This is the result of a significant stability of the physical channel and an acceleration of the online business, which has increased by 19%. Particularly good are the technical superstores, which is the reference market for Unieuro, that increased by 1.2%, offsetting the -7% of the electrical specialists. Unieuro has outperformed the market, not only both in the physical and in the online channel, but also throughout the three main product categories. Gray goods have driven the whole sector, thanks to telephony that is moving towards high range products with smartphones that are more than 1,000 euro worth. Unieuro recorded +14% in store and +58% online. White goods have, for the first time, recorded a slight drop due to the change in the channel mix for larger domestic appliances and due to the less warm summer season that impacted on the sales of air conditioners. Notwithstanding that, Unieuro increased by 7% and 31% on physical and online channels respectively. Brand goods are flat again in general terms. However, we are increasing our market shares, especially for premium TV sets.
If we broaden up our framework and we move to page number seven, if we consider the revenues as a whole, we see that during the first half, we increased by 11.7%, thus exceeding the 900 million threshold again in the H1. Acquisitions implemented starting from the second quarter of last year, so Moncler, Andreoli, Roma Due, and Cerioni certainly contributed, but also organic growth has been positive. In this respect, we have recorded a +1% in terms of like-for-like, that becomes a +4.3%, excluding the distorting effect of the new openings on existing stores. I'd like to point out that the like-for-like analysis has been restated, and this methodology is going to apply from now onwards. The revision of the method of calculation aims at aligning UniEuro to the main international peers, that in order to calculate the like-for-like scope, consider retail and travel stores having at least one full financial year of operation, and the whole online channel, and not only click and collect. The algorithm applied excludes those stores that were impacted by extraordinary events, positive ones, such as refurbishments on larger stores like Moratella, our flagship store in Rome, that underwent a complete refurbishment in 2017, or negative events, such as, for example, temporary closures due to one-off events or accidents. On slide number 28, as an attachment, we pointed out the quantitative differences between the old and the new calculation method, and we applied this, the new one, in, if we had applied the old calculation method, the like-for-like would had a difference of 0.4%, very slight difference. Moving on to the following slide, you see the sales by channel. In this respect, I just would like to point out again the very good performance of e-commerce, increased by 39%, if we consider the contribution by Moncler, and 32%, if we just consider the UniEuro.it platform. The online channel has thus become the second most important channel, with an impact of 11% on the overall sales. Stable is the performance of wholesale after many quarters of decline, also due to the rationalization of the affiliates networks. Network and this channel is going to become stronger and stronger, thanks to an important partnership I will address later on. Well, the trend, the sales by product category has already been outlined. However, I would like to stress the importance of a high range of products, in particular, as far as white goods and services are concerned. Among white goods, the sale of Ignis large domestic appliances has been extremely successful. They are manufactured by Whirlpool as an exclusive for UniEuro for the domestic Italian market, and this is for large domestic appliances and built-in appliances. On a regular basis, and this is a promotion, Passione Casa, which has been extremely successful, and that provides for the sale of two products in combination, of one of which has to be a domestic appliance, and this has been extremely important. Services are extremely important for us, and a proof of that is the +29% recorded in the first half. The objective is that, is to reach 6% in the midterm from 4.3% of the revenues as of today. We are now envisaging to reach the 6% target even before our expectations. Then on slide number 11, we reiterate, as usual, our strategic pillars. In the next slide, you see so the impact of our strategic pillars on the period under review. On page number 13, you see that our proximity has increased both by expanding the POS network and by focusing on wholesale with a new project among large retailers, and also thanks to the success of the UniEuro app that was downloaded more than 1 million times. The customer experience has improved, as the NPS is showing, but also multiple awards won by the group. And the commitment in renewing the network. And then the retail mix, as we said, is benefiting from tighter partnerships with our suppliers. We mentioned Whirlpool, but also Sony and many other suppliers have contributed to this success, suppliers with whom we have defined products to be sold at an exclusive basis through our UniEuro channels. If you go now into the details of some of these strategic levers, on page number 13, we are glad to announce an absolute novelty for the Italian market. So far, UniEuro has been represented in technical superstores and electrical specialists, and the poor player Moncler has always been present in the mass merchandising market. Last February, however, we started a pilot project with Iper La Grande I, which is a supermarket chain which is leading the northern Italian market and which is an excellence within the Italian mass merchandise retail segment. With two and then four stores, the consumer electronic department was transformed into a shop-in-shop. UniEuro by Iper was the banner with the formula of the commercial affiliation that has already been successful. And for this reason, UniEuro is now present in the larger retailer market, and tomorrow, November the 15th, we will open further five shop-in-shops affiliated with Iper, so that in the following weeks we will finally sign a partnership agreement as foreseen by the agreement that we signed with Finiper. The benefits are clear. We can strengthen our wholesale sector. There's a greater exposure of the UniEuro banner to millions of customers in facilities with enjoying a very large, a very high traffic. And within Finiper, this is and Finiper is certainly one of the leading food suppliers in Italy. And the Finiper stores, like our DOS stores, will be eligible for Pick and Pay, and they will also benefit from many other services that we're focusing on in order to increase customer loyalty. The volume effect will play a very important role, thus allowing us to increase the bargaining power vis-à-vis our suppliers to the benefit of all our distribution channels. Moving on to page number 13, let's have a quick look at the two small but significant acquisitions that were announced in July and October. 15 stores in total, they all belonged to competitors, especially Troni, the DPS Group, the main shareholder of Troni that went bankrupt in the last month, and Galimberti, which was a shareholder of Troni. In the locations we acquired, or that we are about to acquire, we will generate about 100 million revenues at run rate vis-a-vis an acquisition cost equal to 5.9 million euros in total. Compared to the past, when we acquired entire chains, we decided to perform a cherry picking of individual stores that could be particularly interesting for us, both in commercial terms and also in terms of compliance with the rest of our network. In this respect, I would like to point out our new flagship store in Milan, San Babila, travel store that marks our opening in downtown Milan, a very important city, but this will also allow us to make the banner well known to 11 million travelers at the railway station of San Babila. The growth initiative described so far were possible and will be pursued in the future as well, also thanks to the new logistics hub in Piacenza that you can see on page number 15. As promised, we opened it on the 12th of October, so before the peak season, and as of the end of September, we completed the transfer of goods and people, thus leaving the old facility that was no longer up to the task. Piacenza is the heart of Unieuro, and the new hub doubles the stock capacity for telephony, for other sectors, for household appliances. We increase by 40,000 SKUs available in the platform to 60,000, so from 40,000 to 60,000. The overall investment was equal to about 11 million euros, 3.2 already paid in this semester. The process automation was extremely important, as well as energy efficiency, also with a view of reducing the energy costs. The agreement, the contract will be for 3 years and will be renewed for 6 years with Generali Real Estate that built that facility specifically for us and with which we have signed the renting agreement, 9 plus 6 years. Waiting for your questions, I will hand over to Italo, who will outline the economic and financial figures for the period.
Thank you very much, Giancarlo, and thank you to you all. I'm not going to dwell on revenues that have already been mentioned. Let's start from page 17, where you see the growth of EBITDA adjusted that reaches 15.6 million euros. As already pointed out, this is a little meaningful piece of data for the well-known seasonality nature of our business. Among the most important factors that I would like to highlight is gross margin. The adjusted net profit or net income drops down to 0.4, following higher investments and amortization and write-downs of fixed assets related to closing down of existing stores. Taxes have also contributed to this drop of our net income. However, this impact will be offset in the second year off. I'm commenting now on page 18. The cash absorption that's typical of the first year off has led net financial debt to 55 million euros, which is well below the 75.8 million reported at the 31st of August 2017, and this despite substantial cash outs that took place because of our dividend payout. The adjusted levered free cash flow has improved despite remaining negative, and it's dropped from -27 last year to -22 this year, and it's improved second year in a row. Please remember that this figure was -50 million in the first year off, 2016-2017. Our net working capital is improving compared with 2017. It also was favorably impacted on by the increase of our service revenues and the new openings. As for our key operational data that are reported on page 19, show on the one hand that our network has remained stable in the first year off. Please note that in September, the number of stores has exceeded 500, thanks to the new openings, six new openings, former DPS stores that will soon be followed by the opening of the former stores of the latest acquisition we made. We would like, starting this year off, we would like to add a new KPI, namely the Net Promoter Score, that ranges between -100 and +100, according to the number of clients who are promoters of our brand. This score reached 44 in the first year half of 2018, which is reassuring as it shows that the customer satisfaction is improving. On page 20, you see the evolution of the adjusted EBITDA compared with the first year half of last year. You see gross profit has increased substantially, both in absolute terms, 26 million euros, both in terms of impact of on our revenues. It has increased from 22.3 last year to 22.8 in this year half. And this evolution is the result of a very focused marketing activity aiming at reducing costs at the time when promotions still play a substantial role. The reduction of marketing costs has also been sizable, but this is mainly due to the promotion calendar. The personnel and costs and rents have been impacted upon by the new openings. Logistic costs have increased, and this is a well-established trend, as we all know, because of the increasing home delivery services and the improved service to customer that we provide. Let's now come to EBITDA adjustments. Let's try and understand what the rationale is for such EBITDA adjustments. Please note that EBITDA adjustments have been dropping steadily in line with the guidance provided to the market at the time of the IPO. The extraordinary costs related to IPO, the call option agreement, and the accidental events that occurred last year not being there anymore, the costs have dropped substantially. Then the newly acquired stores have been extended the warranties, and here you see the adjusted value amounts to 3.1 million euro in the first year of 2018. Coming to the net income on page 22. The drop from 3.1 to 0.4 is due to an increase of depreciation and amortization of assets related to the closing downs of stores, and the negative fiscal effect that will be offset in the second year after. The net financial savings have positively contributed to the net income adjusted, thanks to the new credit facilities signed at the end of December 2017. On page 25, you can see some additional items. The net financial position has increased in the hereafter because of the seasonal nature of our business that typically absorbs net working capital. If you add the 20 million dividends paid in June and the cash outs due to acquisitions and assets acquired, you have a total of 22 million plus the acquisition of the former Troni stores that occurred at the end of August. CAPEX amount to 8.4 million euros, much lower than in the first year after 2017, when ordinary CAPEX amounted to 17.9, whereas now they stand at 4.4. And then net working capital is also improving, as already pointed out, compared with the first year after 2017-18, when it was positively impacted on by the latest openings and by the extended warranties to the newly acquired stores. And now I would like to hand you over again to Giancarlo for the closing remarks. Thank you very much. Before starting the Q&A session, I would like to highlight once again that the results achieved in the first year half are more than satisfactory, though little meaningful because they are impacted upon by the seasonal nature of our business. September and October were particularly good months for Unieuro, and considering that Black Friday and the Christmas season are forthcoming, we have a positive outlook for the next few months. Moreover, negotiations with suppliers that we started months ago to, let's say, prepare interesting offers for the Black Friday will generate benefits for us, as well as the reopening of the 14 stores that we recently acquired just before the peak season, and the launch of the five shop-in-shops, namely Unieuro by Hyper, that will certainly contribute to our wholesale channel results. So thank you very much for attending the conference call, and we can now start the Q&A session. Thank you very much.
This is the conference call operator. The Q&A session is about to start. Attendees wishing to ask a question must press star followed by one on their keypads. To leave the waiting list, star followed by two must be pressed on your keypads. Please ask your questions using your headsets. Attendees wishing to ask a question now should press star followed by one. First question by the Italian conference call, Niccolò Storer by Kepler.
Good afternoon, and thank you very much for taking my questions. My first question concerns the agreement that you announced with Hyper. I would like you to elaborate a little bit on it. I don't know whether this should be considered as a wholesale agreement. What kind of new openings may derive from such an agreement, and are there going to be overlaps following the signature of this agreement that may have an impact on your current business scope? And then a final question, is this an exclusive agreement for the whole of Italy, or can we assume that such an agreement can be extended to other players going forward?
My second question, the trend that we observed in Q2 as far as organic growth is concerned, that has, I mean, become more substantial, I would say. So I would like to know from you whether this growth was mainly driven by an extraordinary event, for instance, a promotion or the Football World Championship that might have generated additional sales. What do you think this is a sound trend that is not impacted upon by external factors? In other words, this growth is the result of a particularly strong market? Thank you very much.
Well, as for the agreement with Finiper, well, this is a wholesale agreement, definitely. It's similar to other contracts we have with our affiliates. For the first time, we are actually addressing the large retailers and the large merchandisers. So for us, this is a new business, if you will, even though we tested this type of agreement with other players, large retailers. With Finiper, we started with two stores initially, then we extended it to two additional stores, and tomorrow we'll be extending it to five additional stores. Clearly, we have been the first of the market to do so. We have been first movers, if you will, on the market, and the fact that we decided to speed up this exercise, extending this agreement to half their stores. They have got 20 stores altogether, and by next year we'll be extending this agreement to all their 20 stores. And of course, this is an exclusive agreement for our products.
As for overlaps, we don't see any risk of overlap, no risk of cannibalization. If there is some overlap risk, it is a very, very limited risk. We are particularly satisfied with this agreement. We are not going to announce it formally today because the contracts are being signed now by our legal affairs divisions. I mean, our lawyers are discussing details which would not impact the core of the agreement. By 2019, the first months of 2019, we'll be able to open Unieuro by Hyper stores in all the 20 stores of Hyper. We are particularly satisfied, as I said, because we were selected as partners by Fineco. I think it's fair to say that you see now the marriage between two examples of excellence on the Italian market. Of course, we are excellent in the consumer goods market and Fineco in the food market. I believe this is something that is unprecedented. We believe that similar agreements will be signed going forward with large retailers operating in different sectors. In France, for instance, Carrefour signed an agreement with Fnac Darty and gave them mandate to take care of all their house appliance products. I think that large retailers are realizing how difficult it is to manage products like the one we sell. Being able to enter agreements with the major player in the consumer electronics in France or in Italy is, in my opinion, the best way to achieve a win-win agreement. Our Q2 growth. Well, that was partially the result of the market growth that was driven mainly by the sales of mobile phones. As I stressed during my presentation, the mobile telephony is driving this growth. Please also consider that, luckily enough, this market segment is also favorably impacted on by the high prices of mobile phones. The flagship products of the larger manufacturer exceed 1,000 euro in price. The increase in the average price of mobile phones has driven our growth. Clearly, such a high price of mobile phones inevitably drives a high price of accessories as well, because if you spend more than 1,000 euros on a smartphone, you are also ready to spend much more to buy accessories. We know that accessories are now part and parcel of smartphones. We are performing very well also with high-end TV sets. This is a sector that is not growing in general, but we are performing very, very well. We've been devoting the utmost attention to premium products for some years now, ever since the advent of the LCD screens and then the OLED screens. I believe that this is now paying back because in most cases, we have anticipated or again anticipated the customers' expectations or managed to exploit the prevailing trend. We're now focusing on premium TV sets. Just to make an example, the great success that Dyson is reporting with
small house appliances that cost two times or three times the average cost of such appliances. Well, the first movers, again, are the ones who benefit most, and Dyson is a case in point. So just to answer your question, we haven't focused on promotions in particular that may justify this growth in Q2. As you said, that was a sizable growth, even though Q2 is not the most important quarter for us. But as you said, the results in Q2 were particularly good. And we can also refer to what has been done in terms of refurbishing some of our stores, attention paid to the quality of service and to the services that we sell to our customers. That, again, is paying back. We believe we'll be able to reach the target that we announced at the time of the IPO, namely having services accounting for roughly 6% of our total revenues. At the time of IPO, they accounted for 3%. They now stand at 4.3%, which means that we are well on track. We'll be able to grow this source of revenues that provide also very good margins. So again, to answer your question, we think we made the right choices and the right decisions in a quarter where the market grew nevertheless, vis-à-vis the first quarter of the year when the market conditions were definitely harsher. Thank you very much.
The next question, Giuseppe Grimaldi from Mediobanca. Good evening to everyone, and thank you for taking my questions. I'd like to ask you for an update on the white goods market. Do you envisage any competition issues within the sector? Also, within the framework of a framework agreement that was recently signed between Amazon and a well-known Italian pure player. A second question is more related to financials. Considering the growth in your top line that has been particularly strong in the first half of the year, how much of that is attributable to the change in the scope of business, and how much of that is referred to your retail channel? Last question on leasing. The rules and regulations for next year provide for a different accounting method for the leasing. Do you have an idea about how this will have an impact on your net financial position? I will answer your question on white goods, and as far as our business scope and any other activities performed by our competitors, such as the agreement with Amazon, well, I will hand over to Olivieri, and concerning the leasing, Italo Valenti will answer that question. So, as far as white goods are concerned, that market, after many years of relatively strong growth, that is still continuing, well, that market has been suffering a bit, 1.1%. And this is a market that has dropped not only in terms of volumes but also value-wise. And this is also due to the fact that the sales channel mix has changed compared to the previous one. Compared to the year half that we are reviewing right now, I was saying beforehand that September, October, and November, as far as we can, are months that, as far as we could see, are months that have been particularly important for household appliances, both in the physical and in the online channel. I would say we have also implemented a couple of ad hoc initiatives. We have always told, for example, that for us, the growth of large domestic appliances has always been strategic in order to acquire market shares that had been
lost in the past due to other channels, and this is something that has been going on for a while. Large domestic appliances and the market as a whole, which is performing positively, plus 6% compared to the drop in the general market, is very important. If I focus on September, October, well, I would say that what we can see is extremely positive, and this also applies to the future because we have seen an important change in the sale of white goods. But as far as Amazon and others, other issues are concerned, I will hand over to Ms. Olivieri. Yes, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. As far as we know about the agreement with the Italian pure player and Amazon is what we have read in the press and what we can monitor in terms of product placement on the Amazon channel. This is what we can see and what we can analyze. This actually anticipates the entry of Amazon in the large domestic appliance market, but this so far has not had any impact on online and offline sales of only euro. We shall not forget that in the past 3 years, we've focused a lot on gaining market shares on both channels. We are an omnichannel company and we adopted two different strategies to do so, but for the time being, this agreement is not having an impact on our growth plan. As far as the top line growth and the organic revenues growth, well, we can say we've had that 1% growth we highlighted earlier, and this is the growth in terms of turnover, excluding acquisitions and new openings. Concerning IFRS 16, and this is the question on leasing. Well, the change in the accounting principles will come into force and will be adopted as of Q1 of next year. Clearly, with the closing of this financial year, with the closing of our financial statements in February 2019, we will provide thorough disclosure on the impact of the new accounting principle, both on the balance sheet and on the income statement. The impacts are basically in the balance sheet on financial debt, because the discounting of all the rent agreements that we have will be posted in the balance sheet, and on the asset side, we will create an asset as if we had acquired them, even if this is not the case. In the income statement, we will have a significant impact on EBITDA because from the EBITDA, all rents will be excluded, and financial charges will also increase significantly as well, because mathematical interest calculated on the new net debt will be allocated. In terms of numbers, I cannot be more precise because we are still analyzing this issue, but considering that this is a very important topic, also in terms of representation of our company, we will be extremely detailed after the closing of the financial statement and in the guidance. The next question, Andrea Bonfa from Banca Akro.
Good evening, everyone. I do apologize, I joined late, so I may ask questions that have already been answered. First of all, what is the overall contribution acquisitions, 9 million for Moncler and the B2 business, and 18-19 million of Moncler for the online businesses. So can we have the figure for the contribution of all the acquisitions for the first year off? Second question. It is true that Q2 is generally not meaningful, but considering that revenues grew by 10% in Q4, I expected a bit more, a bit higher profitability when it comes to adjusted EBITDA. Can you elaborate a little bit on this? Because the adjusted EBITDA did not grow in absolute terms. The final question, I do apologize for asking it again. I heard comments about the agreement that you entered with Finiper. Can you please summarize it briefly? Because unfortunately, I missed what you said about this agreement. Thank you very much.
As for your question about the impact of acquisitions, well, I just answered this question just a second ago, but if you just joined, you couldn't hear my answer, of course. Anyway, if you see that when we say that our growth like for like is 1%, so this is the revenues growth net of the acquisitions and net of the new openings.
Okay, but if we do not consider the openings, we cannot calculate the contribution of acquisitions. Well, this is a figure that we do not disclose. Please consider the new openings are five, six, seven, eight per year maximum. You can easily make the math. Unfortunately, we do not provide the breakdown of the contribution of acquisitions and new openings. As far as our profitability is concerned, well, there has been an increase in revenues, you're right. We always say that we made a set of acquisitions in the past, in the second year half of last year and in the first year half of this year. As is often the case, the new acquisitions start generating revenues after 12, 18 months. We are currently bearing the cost of the new openings, or we'll be having the positive impact materializing over the next few months. Considering the substantial costs we had to bear, because clearly the refurbishment of the stores after the acquisitions that took place last year between November, December, and in the first year half, were offset by the increase in revenues that have driven the increase of EBITDA by 6%. We're talking about, of course, small figures here, but positive nevertheless, because they confirm the positive trend our group is experiencing. What about the agreement with Finiper? Can you please summarize it briefly?
Well, about the agreement with Finiper, if you don't mind, you can call Andrea Moretti tomorrow, so he will be explaining it clearly. Consider that we discussed seven, eight minutes, the Finiper agreement. I would like to take different questions if possible.
Next question, follow-up by Mr. Storer by Kepler.
I'm sorry, just a follow-up question concerning the gross margin. We have a positive figure considering the channel mix that shows a substantial increase of the online channel. Thanks also to the product mix, where we see the gray goods and the brown goods growing more than the white goods. Again, this is something that dilutes the margin. How can we have such an improvement of the gross margin? Is it the result of the growth of service revenues, or is this the result of renegotiation of your contracts, of the conditions with your suppliers? So I would like to understand why the gross margin improved.
Well, indeed, this is the result of the focus on margins that we have had over the past few months, and this applies both to promotions and to the conditions we are granted by our suppliers. This has made it possible to improve our gross margin. Please note that last year gross margin was influenced by the new openings following the acquisitions. As you know, when we make an acquisition, the first weeks after the acquisition are impacted upon by promotions that, of course, affect our profitability. Have you calculated roughly how much the gross margin would increase net of these impacts? Well, considering that we analyzed these items thoroughly in August, we can say that even without the impact of the acquisitions that we made last year, we would be able to improve our gross margin. And nevertheless, again, without considering the acquisitions we made last year, and this is the result of the attention paid to profitability and to margins and to the promotions that we have implemented that were designed in such a way to reduce the impact on our profitability. And this is also the result of the market, because the market was performing well and enabled us to implement such a promotional activity. And then please also consider that the service revenues have increased, and this, of course, contributes to our profitability. All right. Thank you very much.
So please, if you want to ask a question, press star plus one on your telephone. So, ladies and gentlemen, for the time being, there are no questions. If there are no further questions, I'd like to thank you all for your participation. We are, of course, available to answer any questions you may have at a later stage, any clarification or request for information. Thank you very much for attending the conference call, and have a nice evening.